according to the wonderful words of your pastor before I got up, and the choir tonight, lyrics of the songs, I think I'm on target tonight. Where God is not confused, I think he knows what he wants to do tonight. Praise God. Good to see you all tonight. Thank you for inviting us and allowing us to be here in the house of God.
Praise God. Is it on? Praise God. You can kind of tell when you... Great to be here. My scripture tonight is Matthew 1:21. And I want to minister for no more than 2 hours tonight on this subject, born to die. Born to die. Thank you, Lord. Heard about broken hearts being mended and the joy of the Lord being our strength, and a lot of the themes that we enjoy from the Word of God tonight. It's good to be in this house, good to be here ministering, and I want to pray before I start, ask the Lord to anoint me tonight. I'm not much without the anointing of God. I'm just a public speaker, but if God can anoint what we're preparing here tonight, then we can all be blessed and benefit from the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Brother and Sister Schumacher, for inviting me. And we've been praying for your family, praying for your mom. Praise God. Just went through that with my dad not too long ago. And so we understand what you're going through. And we want to pray that God would strengthen you in this time. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. It's not easy. It's not easy. But it happens. And to God be the glory. Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the privilege of handling your eternal word again tonight. Thank you for these who have made the effort to come out on a Sunday evening to support the word of God and the strength of your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for their prayers. Thank you for their cooperation. Thank you for the anointing upon their hearts, upon the word, upon the speaker tonight. And we'll give you the glory. Give me liberty tonight to preach. And help them, Lord, to cooperate. Work with me today as we minister the word of God. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Praise God. You may be seated. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is the Christmas season, so I brought a Christmas message to you. This is the Advent of Christmas, and I want to minister this word to you, born to die. Romans chapter 5, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. This is one of my favorite scriptures. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, perhaps, for a good man, some would even dare to die. Verse 8, but God commendeth or entrusted his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm so thankful tonight that he turned the ungodly into the godly. I'm so thankful tonight that when we were without strength, he is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm so thankful that when I was a sinner, 1967, University of Wisconsin, Madison, in the People's Republic of Madison, on a liberal campus. When I was in Metro Vancouver, they said, we know the people of Madison, Wisconsin. They are enlightened people. They are generations ahead of their time, but they're the most godless, sinful, corrupt society on the face of this earth. And out of that student body of 35,000 people, there was a time in my life when I didn't want God. I did not want church. I didn't want pastors. I did not want congregations. I didn't want anything to do with God. I was lost. I knew I was lost, and I was content at the time to be lost. But there came a time in my life when I realized that there's more to life than just a degree in engineering. There's more to life than just making money and buying things and having fun and pleasures of this life. There's more, life consists of more than just possessing things. And I realized suddenly that I was lost and I did not know where to go. Out of a campus of 35,000 students, you probably know him, Brother Emmett Caskey and Brother Chuck Welch, witnessed to me on the campus. God reached down and he saw my hungry heart. He saw me trying to reach out for him. If you're here tonight and you're reaching for him, let me tell you tonight that in the day that you seek him with all of your heart, he shall be found of you. You'll find him. He'll rendezvous. He'll give you a witness. He'll reach out to you. He'll try to transform and change your life. It was on the campus that I received a testimony, went out to the church that Brother Yance was pastoring of that church on Siegel Road, Calvary Gospel Church. And there when I came into Pentecost, what, Brother Schumacher? They're crazy. I said, what in the world? What do I get into? What am I involved with here? They were raising their hands, and they were singing, and tears were coursing down their cheeks, and they were speaking in tongues. And I said, I don't understand this, but they're not faking it. This is real. This is something that is really genuine. And I felt for the first time in my 20 years of living, I felt the presence of the Lord in that service. I couldn't explain it. I didn't understand it, but I felt the presence of God. I feel the presence of God in this house, confirming his word tonight with signs following. Praise God. If you'll open up your spirit, open up your heart tonight, Jesus Christ wants to do a tremendous work. You say, I'm an old saint. I've been in the church for years. God wants to change you. Praise God. People come to church primarily to have fellowship and entertainment. But tonight, let's come to learn and to change. Let the Holy Ghost take you to a new dimension, a new area of your life. Help him to let you do things you never dreamed of doing before. Praise God. Our time is short. My world is falling apart around us. I know Pentecostal friends are still praying for us to go back to the good old days. We're not going back to the good old days. We're not going backward. We're going to move forward in prophecy, forward in the Word of God, and the world is going to become more corrupt. It will become as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's going to get increasingly worse. I told my neighbor that. He said, well, I told my wife that you said that. I said, it's in the Word of God. How about a Bible study? How would you like to find out what the Bible has to say instead of what CNN has to say, NBC, ABC, and the liberal media with corrupt and fake news? Why don't you want? Would you like to hear some truth for a change? Praise God. Ungodly, he changed the ungodly into the godly. We were without strength. We did not even have the strength to do what is right. We wanted to do right. We knew it was right that we do right. We heard that it was right, but we did not have the strength. I'm so thankful tonight that Jesus Christ gave me the strength to rise up and to stand for him and to live for him. He gave me the power to live above sin. He gave me the power to represent him and be an eyewitness of his resurrection power. Praise God. Ungodly, without strength, and sinners. I remember when I was a sinner. And I remember how I felt. I've never forgotten what it's like to be a sinner. It's a good thing to remember where you came from. Don't dwell there. Don't dwell on that. Don't go back and relive that. Don't come under the same guilt, shame, and condemnation. But it's good to remember where you came from. Don't spend your time looking back. But it's good to remember every now and then what Jesus Christ has done for you. It'll help keep you on track. It'll help you keep doing the right thing. Praise God. The earth was oblivious and unaware of the Savior's birth. The angels rejoiced over the Savior. Shepherds came near to the manger in Bethlehem, and Jesus knew his purpose. One thing I admire about the Lord is he knew where he came from, and he knew why he was here, and he knew where he was going. If you tonight can decide that and discover that in your life, where have you come from, and what has God done for you? What is your purpose in the earth tonight, and where are you going? It'll help you sort out what's happening all around us. And remember that we've got a wonderful promise and hope. Praise God. I've got a hope. I've got a hope. Thank you, Lord, for freedom of assembly. Thank you for freedom of worship. Thank you for freedom of religion. Thank you for a sound mind, health, strength, mobility. Thank you for these things. Have you thanked him yet? Have you thanked him today? Have you taken that for granted? I'm here tonight. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I can be here. And I'm glad I can minister the word of God tonight. Thankful for some of the wonderful things that God has entrusted to us. Praise God. He came in a divinely prepared body to willingly die for the sins of mankind, and it's important that we celebrate the incarnation. I know people that want to bring back the baby. They want the baby. Give us that squalling, bawling little bundle of joy with that baby fat and those big jowls. Give me the baby tonight. I don't want the crucified Christ. I don't want him telling me what to do. I don't want him making any expectation demands out of me, no commandments. But I want to bring back the baby. Let me just hold and cuddle the baby so I can do what I want and still love him. Praise God. Hallelujah. The main issue of Christmas is not that Jesus came, but why did he come? Why did he come? No salvation is birth alone. If he were just born, if we just celebrated the nativity tonight and the birth of Jesus Christ, that wouldn't save you. You could put out your nativity scene, celebrate the birth, and give gifts one to another, and sing a few carols, but that wouldn't change you, wouldn't change your heart. No salvation is birth alone. His sinless life, he was without sin. He was perfect. He never said a wrong thing. Can you imagine that? He never said a wrong thing. He never did a wrong thing. He was never in the wrong place at the wrong time. Everything he did was, I feel sorry for James, his brother, half-brother. I feel sorry for Mary comparing James to Jesus. I sure wish you could be like your older brother. I sure wish you could be like him. He's perfect. And James writes about him. James knew that. And he knew how perfect, he knew that he was without sin. There was no guile in his mouth tonight. Praise God. But that sinless nature had no redemptive force. Even though he was sinless, that didn't affect you and it didn't affect me. For him just being sinless. The flawless example could not rescue man. He was flawless, made no mistakes. We have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have times when we need to repent and confess our sins. And he can forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need that verse. We need that possibility to maintain communion with him tonight. I need that scripture tonight. Praise God. But Jesus, flawless example, could not rescue me. His greatest teaching, there was no teacher greater than him. We're still enjoying the teaching of the Word of God. We still like to teach the parables. We still like the principles and the directives that he's giving and the instruction in righteousness and holiness. We still teach that and we want to live that in our lives. But that alone, the flawless teaching, the greatest teaching, could not save us tonight. We needed something more. His miraculous ministry alone, he performed miracles. Listen, folks, the blind were seeing, the deaf were hearing, the dumb were speaking, the dead were being raised from the dead, lepers were being cleansed, eyes were being opened. He did wonderful miracles and went about doing good, but that goodness, that flawless miracle, the miraculous ministry alone could not change us tonight. We needed something more. I'm telling you tonight, he was born to die. Jesus came to us in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, to preach the gospel to the poor. You're poor in spirit, you're lowly tonight. Jesus came to preach the gospel to you. You're hearing the word of God tonight, hearing the gospel tonight, the death, burial, resurrection of our Lord. You're hearing that in this house tonight, and Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. I'm so glad we know the gospel. I'm glad we preach the gospel. I'm glad we don't preach four spiritual laws. I'm glad we don't preach just accepting Christ, believing in Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I ask people like that. Do you love Jesus? Oh, we love Jesus. Have you obeyed him yet? Have you repented? Have you been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins? Have you received the Holy Ghost with the initial evidence of speaking with tongues as a spirit? Do you love him that much that you're willing to obey him? Praise God. They want him as Lord and Savior. They like the Savior part. The fact that they won't burn in hell forever. They like that part. But they're not too keen on the lordship part. Because if he's your Lord, you will do what he says. If he's your Lord, you will obey his commandments. You receive his promises. You allow him to reign and rule in your life and direct you tonight in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. He came to heal the brokenhearted. We sang the song tonight. He healed the brokenhearted. If you have a broken heart, you're here tonight, you have a broken heart. You know someone with a broken heart. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Have you ever been brokenhearted? You didn't ask for it. It just happened. Your heart was broken. Something died inside of you. It just collapsed inside, and you just felt empty and helpless. And Jesus Christ came to heal the brokenhearted. Are you glad for the healing power of Jesus Christ tonight? He healed me! No longer hurting, no longer in pain and agony, no more in shame and condemnation. He healed me tonight. Praise God. He came to preach deliverance to the captives. Have you ever been captive? You say, no, we've never done any prison time, never been incarcerated, but you've been captive. You've been a prisoner of your past. You've been a prisoner of your lifestyle. You've been a prisoner, and you couldn't find any way out. Jesus came to set the captive free. Tell you what, the Lord set me free. When I came, he set me free. I'm so thankful he set me free tonight. It's good to be free. Good to be free tonight. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed, and I am enjoying my freedom tonight in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. It's good to be free. No more shame, no more anguish, no more condemnation, no more guilt. He has come to set us free tonight, come to set the captives free. Recovering a sight to the blind, there was a time when I couldn't see it. I remember one time kneeling down by my little bed in my little single room at 306 North Brook Street in Madison. I was a sophomore in engineering. And I said, I really want to know who you are, Lord. Emmett Caskey gave me charts, gave me verses. Chuck Welch came, took me to the Bible and showed me all the oneness scriptures. And they tried to help me see it and see that Jesus. I got down one day and I said, Lord, I want to know who you are. And in that little prayer meeting, in that little room at 306 North Brook Street, Jesus Christ revealed himself to me. If you know who Jesus is tonight, it's because you ask him and he revealed himself to you. It's a beautiful personal revelation of the Lord tonight. I got up, ran down the steps, ran across the street, ran up the steps to the third floor where Emmett Caskey was studying his mechanical engineering. And I said, Emmett, I've got it. And I explained it to him. He said, brother, you have got it. And it's a revelation, and I'm so thankful tonight that I know who Jesus is. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, yeah. One in essence, three in person, second person in the Godhead, all of that. I'm so thankful tonight that I can explain who Jesus is. He's God manifest in the flesh. He is the express image of the invisible God. I'm so glad I know who he is. And when you know who he is, you know what you can ask him and what he's willing to do. Praise God. You're here tonight and you need him. He's willing to fill you with the Holy Ghost, with his wonderful, glorious resurrection spirit tonight. Praise God. He came to set at liberty them that are bruised. Have you ever been bruised? Feelings hurt, damaged emotions, things way down deep in your heart that you can't handle. And they're there and they're affecting you and you can't do anything about it. Jesus Christ came. He came. He came to set at liberty them that are bruised. It's great to feel whole in the Holy Ghost. Great to feel the healing power of the Spirit of God tonight. He came to bring truth. Bear witness of the truth. Said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm telling you, I can't believe anything I see or hear in the media tonight. I gave up trying to listen and trying to believe. It's not true. Fact finders can't find it. It's fake. It's created. It's made up. And I'm so thankful when I read the Word of God, I'm reading something that's true. Thank you, Jesus, for sharing the truth. When he speaks, I can believe him. He's a God of integrity. I know what he said. He means what he says. He says what he means. And I can build my life upon the truth of the Word of God tonight. Aren't you glad that somewhere I can find truth? Praise God. May not be in the media, may not be in politics, may not be in the judiciary, but I can find truth in Jesus Christ. He still speaks the truth. And his truth will make me free. Hallelujah. Thank you for the freedom of the Holy Ghost tonight. He came to fulfill the law. I'm just telling on myself, this year, when I was reading the story of the woman caught in adultery, I've always wondered how in the world you catch someone in adultery. Ever wonder about that? We caught her in adultery. Well, how'd you do that? First question, and where is the man who committed adultery? Where is he? So there's some elements that are missing there. But she came, they brought her to him, and they were going to stone her according to the law. And I know that Jesus was the lawgiver, and so he was caught between a rock and a hard place. Praise God. What am I going to do? Am I going to disobey the law and have her stoned? Or am I going to fulfill the law and set her free? And I'm so thankful that he came not to obey the law, he came not to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law. He got down and wrote in the sand. I'm sure he read their mail. I'm sure he wrote things there that they didn't want their colleagues or anyone else to know. Only Jesus knows. He knows your heart. You might as well come clean. He knows all about you. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. If he were to sit down and write out the things in your life, you might be ashamed and embarrassed. You might even blush when he gets done writing. But he wrote, and he said, now you who are without sin, I want you to cast the first stone. And the stones drop. Boom, 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 boom. And every last one walked away. And he said to this woman, woman, where are thine accusers? And she said, Lord, I have none. Whew. Wouldn't it be great to live in a world where you weren't accused by men? Someone's accused you of something recently. Everyone here, they've accused you. They've falsely accused you. They bear false witness. They said things that were not true. Wouldn't it be great if there was no accusation of men? And then the Lord said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Praise God. And he fulfilled the law. He took it from stoning a disobedient person to the wonderful dimension of grace and forgiveness. Go and sin no more. I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. And that just set me free in Scripture. A lot more stories made sense when I saw how Jesus acted. When he went through the fields and gleaned the wheat on the Sabbath day, he was not breaking the Sabbath, he was fulfilling the Sabbath. When he baptizes with the Holy Ghost, he was not going back and obeying the seventh-day Sabbath law. He was fulfilling it, and this is the rest we're with you. Cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing. He was fulfilling it by giving me the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now I have an eternal, everyday rest in the Holy Ghost. Every day is a Sabbath day. Every day is a rest day. Every day there's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for not destroying it. Thank you, Lord, for not disobeying it. But thank you, Lord, for fulfilling the law. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. He came to offer his kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy. People are praying right now that we go back to the good old days, back to what we call normal. What is normal? Go back to what is normal. And when Jesus rode down the road, they put their garments on, they put palm leaves and said, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were not thinking kingdom of God. They were thinking deliverance from Roman bondage. The disciples at his ascension said, Lord, would you at this time restore the kingdom of God to Israel? And they're still thinking earthly, earthly, earthly. Praise God. And God is trying to get us to look above and beyond the earth, beyond the temporal, to the eternal. Get ready tonight. There's more to life than just this. More to life than just this work week. There's more to life than just things and possession tonight. Jesus wants to take you to a new dimension. He wants to prepare your hearts for his soon return, and he's coming soon. I believe he's coming very soon. The world is falling apart, but it's moving according to prophecy. God's in control tonight. You wouldn't think so by listening to the media around you, but God is still in control, and he is fulfilling his prophecy, and he's preparing us for his soon return tonight. Praise God. That's my hope. That's my hope. That's my joy. That's my comfort tonight, is the fact that he's coming soon. Thank you, Lord. He came to show us how to live holy. Praise God. I tell our church, if you got the Holy Ghost, holiness ought not to be an issue. Praise God. Living, being modest ought not to be an issue. Praise God. Developing the character of Jesus Christ in you ought not to be an issue. Praise God. It's not about you, not about your acceptance, your approval of men. It's about displaying his Spirit in you. Praise God. If you have the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, then holiness ought to matter to you, and holiness without which no man shall see God. I'm thankful that I'm in a holiness church. Thankful that you believe in holiness. And if you don't believe in holiness, stick around and you will. Just stick around and you will. Praise God. I'm so thankful for the holiness of God. He came to display God's love. He showed us how to love people. When I read the Word of God, sometimes I catch myself. I say, boy, phew, that would be hard to do. When he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I said in my spirit, I think they did know what they were doing. No, they did know what they were doing. And he said, no, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Praise God. And it's true. They don't know what they're doing. And that's why I need to forgive them. That's a harder prayer for me to pray. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Praise God. Lord Jesus, I really want to be more like you. I want to be able to forgive like you forgave. I want to be able to forgive like you have forgiven me and set me free. He could have done all this without becoming a human being. He could have appeared as an angel. He could have demonstrated his miracle power. He could have worked through the prophets. But he came to die. I need a body to die, someone to pay for my sins. Praise God. John 18:37, to this end was I born, for this cause came I into the world, that I might bear witness of the truth. I came with a purpose. I came with a mission. I came with something to do for mankind. I came to die for their sins. But for this cause, Calvary, came I into the world. John 12:27, I came to this hour for this purpose, to die for the sins of mankind. I'm so thankful he died for me. I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on the cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. I'm so glad he did. I was lost. No hope. No strength. No ability to change myself. I couldn't rehabilitate myself, re-educate myself, transform myself. If you're here tonight and you need help, you need divine intervention, you need the help of supernatural help of Jesus Christ, he's here and he will transform you and make you a child of God. Old things will pass away. Behold, all things will become new. I'm thankful for the newness and the freshness and the cleanness and the righteousness of the Holy Ghost. Aren't you? Praise God. Get around people who are cussing and swearing, children swearing, filthy, rotten languages, immoral, unclean. Just thankful for the pureness and the righteousness of the Holy Ghost. Smooth little baby back. It was scourged with the cat of nine tails. The soft little hands, little fat little fingers, chubby little hands, fat little arms, baby fat, all the jowls hanging down, fat little baby. Yep, a real darling he was. Soft little hands were nailed to a cross. Pink baby feet. Fat little toes. Walked the dusty hill to Calvary and were nailed to a cross. Sweet infant's head, little baby's head, was crowned with thorns and he bled. Tender warm body was ripped apart by the spear and the cat of nine tails. No, Mel Gibson, you didn't portray Jesus like he is in the Bible. No, no. It was not just a little crown with a few trickles of blood down his face, with a handsome face, with a little loincloth laying there or hanging there before the public. His face was marred beyond that. And you could not even tell he was a man. They beat him and scourged him so badly they emaciated his body, and he was there publicly uncovered, naked and shamed before the public. There's no picture that you've seen painted that. There's no movie that's been made that paints the way it really was at Calvary. It was one of the most heinous crimes and crucifixions ever devised by man. The Phoenicians, the Egyptians, and the Romans all perfected it, and he finally was succumbed to the crucifixion of the cross tonight. I am thankful. I'm just so thankful that he prayed not my will, but thine be done. Nevertheless, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to die. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to go through what I know I'll be going through. I don't want that for my flesh. He prayed that three times, and finally he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There'll be things in your life you don't want to do. There'll be things in your life that'll be too painful, too miserable, too costly, too exhausting to do, and you're going to have to pray, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. I need your strength to do this. I won't do this alone. I need your strength. I need your help tonight, or I can't do this by myself. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. He became a substitute for us. I just taught our church on the nine provisions of the cross, nine different provisions, and substitution is one of them. He was a substitute for us. He took our place. He died in our place. Praise God. When you get to feeling sorry for yourself, feeling like things are really rough, just remember that though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, even the death of the cross. Remember who you're serving. Remember who your Lord is and what he went through to save you. Thank you, Lord. He created angels, yet he was made just a little lower than the angels. He was crowned with glory and with honor, yet he tasted death for everyone. He suffered in his death. He suffered pain. I like Dr. Luke. I had a man in my church didn't believe in doctors. I said, is that right? You don't believe in doctors? How many here believe in doctors? You don't believe in doctors? Remember, the Book of Miracles was written by a doctor, Dr. Luke. And I like the way he handles Calvary. He knows what to look for. He knows the physical details of suffering there, and he described the pain. There's loneliness and abandonment. Have you ever felt lonely? Have you ever felt abandoned? Have you ever felt pain? Have you ever felt torment? Have you ever felt public shame? Have you ever been scorned? Have you ever been reviled, spoken evil of? Let it roll off. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. And when he was suffered, he did not retaliate, but he committed himself to the righteous judge of all the earth. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord, not to take everything so personal. Help me, Lord, not to feel like they're picking on me, or they're talking about me, or they're punishing me. Help me, Lord Jesus, to turn that over to the righteous judge of all. And, Lord, you deal with that. You deal. That's out of my hands, out of my control, Lord. You deal with that tonight. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He received what we deserved. He received what we deserved. You're free tonight. There was a price tag. There ain't no free lunch. Nothing's free. Have you seen these ads about adding money to your Social Security check? Huh? By December, don't miss it. By December 7th, you got to call this number. And they will add so many dollars to your Social Security check. And my first question is, who's paying for that? And you find out that you are paying for that. And there ain't no free lunch. And salvation is not free. It cost Jesus Christ his life tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He received the full force of Satan's attack, steal, destroy, kill. Full hatred of mankind was unleashed on him. That's not surprising to me when I see the demonstrations going on and the protests and the buildings being burned and people being killed and things being destroyed. That's the spirit. That's not politics. That's not any particular movement. That's satanic influence that is causing them to destroy each other and things. Praise God. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You ever surprise yourself what's in your heart? David surprised himself. He surprised himself. He was a man after God's own heart. And yet he lusted. He committed adultery, conspiracy, had Uriah sent to the front lines and killed, tried to cover it up by making him drunk, sending him home. He tried everything he could to cover up his sin until Nathan came and said, "Thou art the man. Thou art the man." Praise God. Help me, Lord, not to hide on you. Don't hide on God. You can run, but you can't hide. You can come to church, but you can't hide. Praise God. We might as well come clean because he knows everything about us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We could suffer torment in hell for eternity and never pay the price for sin. Jesus gathered up an eternity of punishment. He took the sins of the world upon him and he solved it and paid the price in 3 hours, offered once and for all the sins of the world. 3 days later, he arose from the dead. I don't know of the prophet of any other religion who did miracles like he did, who was crucified, buried, and raised up the third day, and then poured out of his very spirit upon his believers, giving them the power to live above sin. There is no one like Jesus Christ tonight. We sang in the song, there is no one like him. Neither is there salvation in any, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one Savior of the world, and his name is Jesus tonight. And I'm so thankful that we're filled with his resurrection power. Thank you, Lord. How do I obey the gospel tonight? By just thanking him for the finished work of the cross? No. How do I obey his death? I repent. How do I obey his burial? I'm buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins. How do I obey his resurrection? I'm filled with his resurrection spirit to rise and walk in newness of life tonight. I am so thankful that we have obeyed the gospel. Praise God. Obeying the gospel. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's power tonight. That's great power. Christ was born without a natural father and therefore without sin. The sinless one was made sin for the world. And the degree to which he was made sin for us, we were made the righteousness of God. I'm trying to get my mind around that. I'm trying to grasp that, what that means. He became sin for us, but I made the righteousness of God. Praise God. I want to feel that in my heart, Lord. Let your righteousness control me. Let your righteousness fill me. Let it flow from me, and let others see and feel the righteousness of God in me. The giver of life itself died on a cross. The perfect one became the punished one. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Praise God. Praise God. We esteemed him. He was stricken and we esteemed him not. We did not value him. But I want to value him tonight. I want to thank him again for Calvary. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord one. Thank you, Lord. Death was not a tragedy or a mishap. His death was not an accident, a mistake, or a knee-jerk reaction. His death tonight was a victorious, triumphant, where he gained the keys of hell, death, and the grave tonight. I'm so thankful for the work that he's done. I want to remain thankful. Don't want to take that for granted. Don't want to take that for granted. I know friends have taken that for granted. They're going back in the world. They forgot who they were. They forgot what he did. They forgot what he wants to do in their life tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Christ was not born because we asked for help. There was a time in my life I wasn't asking for help. I didn't want help. I looked at people around me in church and said, I can do that good without the Bible, without God, and without the church. Am I speaking to someone tonight? Felt like I didn't need God. Got a good job, good income, good security, good health, got everything I need. I don't need God. I don't need church. I surely don't need the Bible. He did not come and was not born because we asked for help, but because we needed help. I realized one day I needed help. I realized how lost I was. The greatest discovery you can make is how lost you are without him. How hopeless you are. There's no way out. You're just a corpse waiting to die. You're on death row. There's no hope. There's no promise. There's no future. Nothing good can come out of all your life. All the things. Jesus said, thou fool, this night shall thy goods be required of thee, and thy soul be required of thee, and then whose good shall these be? He did not come because we deserve his grace, but because we need his grace. I need his grace. I need his unmerited favor. I need his mercy, his unmerited forbearance. I need that in my life. Cannot live without it. People honored his birth. He did not come because they honored his birth. Most people missed his birth. Most people in this Christmas season will totally miss Jesus Christ. Commercialism, decorations, gifts, parties, everything will substitute for his love tonight. And he is here in this place tonight. He is here. People know who he is. He did not come because people know who he is. They did not know who he is. Religious people did not know who he is. Religious people still don't know who he is. And it was religious people that crucified him. The greatest deliverance tonight, I preached this one, the greatest deliverance tonight is deliverance from religion. Greatest deliverance is from religion. They could not take the life of Jesus Christ. He laid down his life. Not a victim of envy. For envy they delivered him. And jealousy jealous people, jealous religious people, crucified him tonight. Jesus said, destroy the temple, in 3 days I will raise it up again. And he said that prophetically, speaking of his body. I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay my life down and I take my life up. He has all power in heaven and earth. And with when I know that, I know what he can do with my life. He can preserve me. He can keep me. He can heal me. He can strengthen me. He can direct me. He can use me. Praise God. All power in heaven and earth is resident inside of you. There is nothing shall be impossible with God. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You can do more than you think through Jesus Christ tonight. Praise God. If you let his power work in you, you'll be amazed and surprised and pleased at what God can do in your heart tonight. Nothing deterred him or distracted him from his death. Aren't you glad? Maybe you've made some promises and you gave up, quit, didn't fulfill your promise, didn't keep your word, but I'm so thankful tonight that he kept his word. He's a God of integrity. He means what he says what he means, and it will come to pass. If Jesus said it, I believe it, and it's so, and it will come to pass. You can build your life upon the word of God tonight. He was rejected, he was ignored, he was mocked, he was spit upon, he was ridiculed, hate and scorned, treated with great disrespect, killed by sinners for sinners. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Brother Schumacher, that's one I'm working on. Hallelujah. It's going to take the Holy Ghost to release and forgive. They don't know what they're doing. And sometimes I wonder if they do. But it's great when we can just turn it over to him and let him, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. It's wonderful when you can turn it over and put it back in the hands of God. Greatest gift tonight that God gives us is forgiveness of sins. Baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, never to be imputed to us again. Clean slate, blotted out the ordinances against us. You can't even see what was wrong. You can't go back and see a line through it. It's gone, never to be charged to your account again. A brand new slate. I'm so thankful tonight for the remission of sins. People tell me baptism is not necessary. It's necessary for today. As long as there's sin in the world, it's going to be necessary for those sins to be remitted and never to be charged to your account again. Thank you, Lord. You can't buy forgiveness. You can't demand forgiveness. You can't make a phone call, text message, and order someone to forgive you. Forgiveness is a wonderful thing. Christ child was born, humanity born, and son is given, his deity was given, and he was born to die. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In this Christmas season, I want to remember who I'm celebrating. Not just a baby, but a baby became the crucified Lord, the sacrifice for the world. I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on the cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. Bless the word of your heart tonight. God bless you.
Glory to God. Outstanding message, really. The Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. You know what that means? That means before God decided to create this world, before he ever breathed into the nostrils of Adam to bring life, he recognized, I'm going to have to pay a price in order to have a relationship with mankind. It's unthinkable. And all during the time he was in the form of a man, he had the shadow of the cross hanging over him, knowing that one day I'm going to have to suffer for the ones that I love. I can understand loving somebody so much, You can understand loving your family so much that you'd rather take hurt for them than to see them go through. And that's the kind of love that God had. He realized that the relationship that he was going to have with mankind was so great that he would put himself through that kind of agony in order to have the relationship he has with you and me tonight. That's the value of the relationship, because he suffered for it, for you and me. And every once in a while, you have to go back to the cross and look at the suffering to understand the value of our salvation. Amen. So vividly said tonight by Brother Lemke. Thank you. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? Amen. Sometimes I think what we ought to do is come to this altar and kneel before a cross. Not kneel before an altar, but kneel before a cross and just simply say, "Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah." There was a time when the ladies were exchanging ornaments for Christmas, and my wife said, "You need to go get an ornament, you know, for my secret sister." And I brought an ornament home, and it was a spike that was this long. Because that's what should hang on the tree, is evidence of what my God did for me. Amen. The altar is open. Would you come?